Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is the city's youth poet laureate. Iman Lorenz spent her high school years performing in Louder Than a Bomb, the citywide poetry slam tournament that we've talked about a few times in this program. She was crowned champion in 2014-2015, and this year has been a great one for the West and South Side product, who was just included in the new Bohemia Rising Star issue in Chicago Magazine. Not bad for the 19-year-old Iman Lorenz. Welcome to The Download.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let me ask you, I mean, this is the first time that the city's had a youth poet laureate. What's it mean to you to be the youth poet laureate of the whole city?
Yeah, it's very surreal. It's kind of scary a little bit. I don't really like to think, oh, you a legend and like you're a history maker. It's just an honor to the fact that I'm like a start to making a pavement for others to pay homage to. As I pay homage to Gwendolyn Brooks, Rita Dove, you know, the first African-American women who were poet laureates, who were winner of, you know, peace prizes, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very surreal, and it's kind of, you know, I don't like the word normal, but just like, you know, I still get negatives on my venture cards and, you know, Uber drivers are still rude to me.
No, I don't want to hear that. They should give you a free pass in the CTA.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. Like,
I would just assume any poet laureate would get that.
I guess I would hope so.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how you got into poetry, because we'll talk a little bit about the book and everything that's coming out. But as a 19-year-old, talk about how you first were introduced to poetry in your life.
So I was first widely introduced to like just the whole like culture of just storytelling. My parents, both of them, predominantly raised me in culture. A lot of Spike Lee movies, a lot of Anansi tales, you know. And when I was in elementary school, young elementary school, I started writing in third and fourth grade, and they would always host these competitions every year, these poetry book competitions, or just like a regular book competition. And I was like, I'm gonna just write a poetry book, and I would win every year. And it was just like, okay, this must be my thing, you know what I'm saying? And so then it started with speech competitions, Maya Angelou poems, et cetera, et cetera.
When did you start getting serious about it? I mean, obviously having great opportunities as a kid in third, fourth grade to write books, to write poetry books. But when did you realize that this is something more than just something you do each year for a school project?
I think when it really became like a very big shift in my family, especially like as I started getting older and like a lot of personal issues from my family that was, you know, my biological family, that was really like taking a heavy toll on me. And it was often derived that there was a specific route and path in which we had to like follow, do good in school so that you can go to college, so that you can get a job. And it was like, I don't want that, because I've seen, you know, I've seen my mom work herself through like so many banks throughout all Chicago. And I seen my father like be a construction worker. It was just, I just knew that was not, I was just very much determined not to follow a path that was predestined or pre-picked to be, you know, qualified as successful.
You know, your poetry, I mean, a lot of the stuff focuses on personal issues. I mean, and you, whether it be breakups or sexuality or abuse in your past. I mean, talk about that. Talk about how you use poetry to help you to get over some of those issues. Not just necessarily get over, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but just to deal with those issues in your life.
I think something with poetry, something that like I was taught in school with poetry, with like, you know, the grade A, this is what poetry is, William Shakespeare's, it has to rhyme. And, you know, there's this great fluff around, you know, this beautiful language and imagery. And I'm like, cool, great, that's awesome. But my homies on the block is not finna understand what this mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was to read this to my niece while I'm doing her hair, she would not understand what I'm saying. She'll think I'm probably speaking in another language. So what I wanted to do is that I like to really evolve my storytelling and the way that I actually talk to people, the way that we actually communicate, because that is what actual storytelling is. You know, our ebonics, our colloquialisms, you know, how we communicate, you know, what our, you know, etymology of our languages and what all of that is derived from, and like how that translates into what we actually do every day, and like the purpose of that. So that's all I really like ultimately try to do. Just like keep it like, when you read it, you can like really hear my voice.
Well, there's actually in the written page, but you're also a performance poet in the way that you perform it. And you, in the performances that I've seen, the emotion is what propels the poem. You know, like you said, the rhyming and the words are tremendous, but there's something about the emotion that you bring to it. Mm-hmm. Talk about where that comes from.
So I remember, I slammed with Kumba Lynx during LTAP. I also slammed with Kiri my first 2 years, but I slammed with Kumba Lynx my next 2 years.
And what is, for everyone listening, Kumba Lynx?
Mm-hmm. Right. Kumba Lynx Performance Ensemble there in Uptown. Great, great coaches, Jacinda and Jaquanda, great coaches and mentors. And they really actually helped me a lot as far as, like, performance and, like, you know, getting my breath, take a break. Actually helping me see that performance is an actual craft. It's more to it than just stepping up to a mic mm-hmm. and breathing your words out. It's more so really like wholeheartedly putting your body into your words. And so when I perform, I really cannot explain where that energy comes from. And it's not more so much as like I try to like flash back to where I was in that point in time. Mm-hmm. It's just reflecting on where I am now and like how I got there. And so, like, with that struggle of from where I was when I was going through that and, like, being able to actually tell that to now, I try to, like, swoop myself through that escalade of emotion of there to now.
We're talking with Chicago's Youth Poet Laureate, Iman Loren. She is a South and West Side product. I'm interested, I mean, you've done Lauterbach, mm-hmm. young Chicago authors. We've had on this program a lot of artists who have identified or said, that is, I did Young Chicago Authors, I was a poet in the back, and that's what launched me, mm-hmm. or, you know, I've been doing poetry slams in Chicago. Talk about that community, what you know about the history of Young Chicago Authors, and the amount of talent that has come through this city, mm-hmm. through those doors and others.
All right, so I started going, well, Young Chicago Authors has held me since I was maybe 13, 14 years old. I was really, really young in Young Chicago Authors, literally like eighth grade, right going into high school. Mm-hmm. And so when I remember seeing the space, I remember when the space was actually different, like the stage was set up different, the people who would be there, just seeing like total transition, right? And this was also like during the time that like Chance was at U Media and like, you know, Vic and pretty much predominant Save Money Collective crews mm-hmm. were like, you know, around
the hip-hop
in the
artists
scene.
Of this generation, yes. this time that are all blowing up right now. Yeah.
Yes. So I remember going to YCA and just being like, okay, this is cool, right? Like, I wasn't, like, sold, like, all right, this is, like, something that could, like, launch a career, because I wasn't thinking about that.
Right, you're an eighth grader, right.
Right, and at that time, like, school is telling us, oh, if you want to be an artist, you need a backup plan, you need a plan B, right? So you got to, you know, just get your job on and then just pick a selective hobby, right? But I knew it wasn't a hobby. I don't feel anything that you, like, really like. I mean, sure, you can absolutely drive and, you know, motivate yourself for your hobbies. That's wonderful. But as far as, like, making it your passion and making it your craft, I feel like that goes way beyond deeper than just a hobby.
Yeah.
It becomes what you live for. You know what I'm saying? Like, I quit jobs just to be like, I miss teaching. Like, I miss writing. Like,
well, there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into being an artist. I mean, and even if someone at a young age as yours, 19, I mean, you do have to make choices in what you want to do. That you, this could be a hobby. It could be a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, you're going for it. You're going all in as a poet and as an artist. Talk about that. I mean, is that a scary venture to be this? I mean, obviously being young, that helps you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're making a midlife change.
Right.
But talk about that. Talk about the idea of really putting all your chips in and saying, this is who I'm going to be.
And to be honest, I haven't really thought about that fear, like, since you just asked me
No.
But,
sorry, I apologize.
No, it's perfectly fine.
I'm projecting myself on you.
No, like, and that makes me, like, so happy because I really know in my heart of hearts I'm going to be good. Because the one thing that I used to be really scared of, and, like, especially seeing, like, what my mom especially went through in corporate America is, you know, crashing of markets, right? Like, I remember when I was real young, Mos Def was in this movie, Something the Lord Made, where he was, you know, the John Hopkins, mm-hmm. the first African-American to perform open heart surgery. And all his money was in the bank. The bank crashed and he was broke. I'm like, wow, so that could happen.
With corporate, I didn't know could happen. Right.
With corporate America. But I'm like, I'm an artist. I have so many stories that I have not told yet and so many stories that have not happened yet. And I'm like, that's a whole lifetime mm-hmm. of currency. You know, that's a whole lifetime of possibility. and it's the work. In the community, what we call the work is the actual craft and the actual dedication of molding the story and all the branches of whatever you come from. I come from the five branches of hip hop, but like molding all of those branches together to like tell your story. As long as I like stay true to myself, something mm-hmm. my mom always says, if you cannot be true to yourself, who can you be true to? And if I stay true to myself and keep my stories going, constantly read, constantly write, constantly look for motivation for myself and like figure out who I am and like what I plan to venture to do, I feel like I will always be good.
As the Youth Poet Laureate, I mean, you in some ways become an ambassador for the youth mm-hmm. and for the stories that are coming out. And Louder Than the Bomb has done this very well, where you get to tell your stories your way. You're not told by the media and other people. Do you feel like the young generations in Chicago, whether it be communities of color or otherwise, just kids that are 19, 20, are their stories being heard? Are we telling them the right way? I mean, what do you say to people who might be listening in WGN Radio or 50, 55 years old mm-hmm. who are listening right now saying, yeah, I want to know more about your story?
In like, you know, the protests scene or, you know, the current fight that is going on as far as Black Lives Matter, as far as like the movement that is going on. Something that I often and always have a problem with are the reporters that are there. The white dudes with the big cameras that block all of the kids, you know, that are trying to gather around the open mics that we're doing. And I say it, I be like, bro, can you please get out the way? Like, this is not your story. And if it was a story that you are trying to tell, why don't you give the kids the camera? Why don't you give them, like, the lens? You want the story? That's the story. But you blocking them, right? Mm-hmm. And when we all see people like Chance, right, and his great, magnificent coloring day, everybody says, like, I don't know him face to face, but I'm so proud of him. I'm, like, so amazed. Like, he did it. He's doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm doing it. When I see a lot of people who come to me, like, especially in the LTAP community, they were like, how did you do it? I remember, like, you was just sitting next to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you're hosting the open mic. How did you, like, stay here? Like, you have to stay. If you are determined, if you know this is what you want to do and this is where you want to be, don't see it as a cliche. Don't see it as, you know, some type of, you should always see it as some type of outlet. But it should never be, if this is, like, your, like, derived dream, then make it that. Don't make it a plan B. Make it your plan A. And I think that when I talk to a lot of youth, they like look at me like a magic trick or a magic show. And a lot of times, like, of course, like they feel like favoritism could come into that. But that's never the case at all, because there are no favorites in the world of art. I feel like everybody knows that. Like, we've seen so many hip hop stories where it's like favoritism is never like a really key. And if it is, then it never really works out like that. So I just really try to, like, stay true to the story that you're telling and who you are and, like, the mission that you want to have for yourself.
Do you feel like the youth of Chicago, they have a voice?
Yes. I feel like the youth of Chicago voice is more prominent than I've ever seen, more than ever. I just, like, remember, like, reflecting back to high school, how, like, silenced I was in just the building of high school. And when I would get outside of high school, it was still hard. It was still hard to speak, because we always have adults speaking for us. Chicago, not just Chicago, like the world is living in such an adultist state right now where they feel like youth do not have power. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like the power of who is over who or like a power of like anarchy. It's just a matter of power of like making choices.
Yeah, or telling your own story.
Yes.
Someone else got to tell it for you, right?
Yes, exactly.
I'll take care of this.
Yeah. It's like you don't know that much about your ancestry. I got a little bit more years on you, let mm-hmm. me tell you, right? And so one of the reasons why I'm really appreciative for like folks that has raised me is because they allowed me to take what I know and they give me information based off of what I do know. It's never like you know this, let me make it better. It's more so on you know this, let's see how we can add to it.
Okay, so the book coming out, tell us about it. I mean, is this going to be a collection of poetry? What is Commando? What do we need to know about it?
So Commando is my first chapter book. I'm looking to release it sometime around like next year, beginning of next year. And it actually is a spinoff from my first playwright that I performed at the Chicago Hip Hop Theater Festival, which is basically an exploration of different types of domestic relationships that embodies like spoken word, music, poetry. And so what I wanted to do with Commando in a chapter book, I really wanted to make it, what does it mean to really be open? What does it really mean to be ready for action? And how can we, like, all be Commando, in a sense?
Well, when it comes out, you got to come back on.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
Iman Loren is the city's youth poet laureate. Chicago in all her life. She's 19 years old. The book Commando coming out earlier next year. Iman Loren, thanks so much for coming in. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.